goodness, so much went down on parts 3 and 4 of this incredible season of The Get Down. So stay tuned right here while we hang out and talk about it.
Give me your,
Sheldon, give me your best Toy Boss move.
How am I doing?
Hey.
We doing what you're doing?
You just
roll?
Got a wand. You got a wand. Oh, my goodness. What's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Friends, Ellie Chapman here. We're getting down. You're hanging out. Make sure you hang out with me at all things social media at Hank. At Sally Hangout. Look at me. I'm just all a mess.
And what's up? My name is Sheldon White. You can find me on all social media at SheldonWhite2.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's get right to it.
Woo!
It's Black Hollywood Live. We're here and we're talking about The Get Down, episode 3, one by one, into the dark. We're getting into some darkness. We open up with Angel Dust,
which is
a really dark time in New York City, specifically in the Bronx. It was really running rampant in the Bronx. And, of course, Nas's voice is rapping to the melodic beats, talking about and setting up that scene for us of just kind of like what that was about. You know, this is the thing. I have older siblings, and they were around during that time.
Really?
And they talk about it, like just walking down the street and seeing people just strung out and just like those, like the footage that they show is authentic footage from the city from back then. I mean, it's kind of like to watch it. It's just like, whoa, people were just.
I love how the show continues to incorporate footage like that.
Right.
Like, I think it's so great because someone like me, I heard Angel Dust and I was like, what's that? Like, I didn't even know.
Right.
So I had to look up like PCP and figure out like what it was a little bit because I didn't even know that that was a thing that, I mean, I knew drugs, but like not specifically or what happened or Angel Dust or what how it affected the Bronx or anything like that. Interesting.
It was crazy, a crazy time. And the last time we got together and hung out, we saw that the boys all got into some trouble and Boo and Ra-Ra decided to negotiate. I feel like, what kind of negotiations are we doing exactly? He's like, I wrote a proposal. I'm like, really? You go, I don't know any kid. Like, I wouldn't have been that kid. Would you have been that kid?
I would not have been that kid. I would not have been. But he was smart. I mean.
There was no negotiation at my table. Like, my dad had the belt. He was like, tu quieres pela? Tu quieres una pela? I was like, oh. Like, there was just no conversation. Like,
Right. No, it was really cool, though. I mean, like, for him to propose a contract like that, it shows Ra-Ra's strengths. I wanted to see more about, like, how that, his dad was like, go to school.
Yeah,
and then we didn't see any more of it. Like, I wanted to see, like, how his dad responded, because as we see later, they were performing.
Yeah.
So,
well, he did chuckle a little bit as they were leaving. He was like, huh, this is hilarious. But I think it was kind of shady that, like, Boo is selling drugs.
I know.
And you could see it in his face where he's like, oh, yeah, you know, no, Dizzy's not the one selling because Dizzy isn't the one selling.
Right.
You are, Boo. Just trifling.
Boo's getting in trouble.
But we jump to the cafeteria with Zeke and Ra-Ra. And Ra-Ra, I didn't know, was the self-proclaimed manager of this group.
Neither, but
he's like, you know, I'm the manager. So I got this vision. And my vision's for expansion. So we need to lay out. You got to, like, not be grounded because we got to figure this out. I was like,
Ra-Ra.
All right, Commander-in-Chief.
Just taking charge.
Taking charge. I think I really love his character because he is, like, this nerdy, goofy kind of kid. But yet, he does have this vision, and he does have some strength to him, and he does have leadership skills. And it's just, like, interesting to see kind of like that adolescence of what it means to come into who you really are. Because who he is, it's already on the inside of him. But you do go through that awkward stage of your life where you're trying to figure out who you are and trying to figure out how to talk to girls.
It's so that's one of the things I love. Like you said, adolescence. Like, he's such a child.
Yes.
Like, Ivana and Tani walk up. And he's like, just freezes.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, this is my vision for my business.
Right.
Like, it's so fun. It's great.
It's like he doesn't know what to say to the girls, but he knows what to write in his rhymes, and he knows what to say to his group. And he definitely tells Zeke, I don't care what you got to do if it means going down to Queens and apologizing to Guns. And that's just what you have to do. So Zeke goes to Queens. The conversation didn't turn out so well. How do you think Zeke handled that? Like, tell me your honest opinion. You think Zeke did the right thing, or do you think he should have apologized?
I was watching it, and I thought to myself, just apologize. Because I think I would have apologized.
Right.
I think that I would have thought that the easier of two paths mm-hmm. and just apologize, especially at that age.
Right.
But Mr. Guns was awful. Like, some of the things, like, there's no affirmative action at Carnegie Hall.
Like, I wanted to slap. I literally wanted to give him my pimp hand. How
right,
about that?
Exactly. Like, how could you sit there and listen to that? So, I loved that Zeke handled it the way he did. It's, like, what I wish I would do always in situations right. that he stood up for who he was and who he believed in or who he thinks of himself. And I just, like, it was great. I'm really proud of him.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, who would have thought? I don't think I would have had that much balls at right. 15, 16 years old.
Right.
And to have just that much foresight to say, like, one of my favorite lines is when he talks about, well, you guys are the same, you know?
Yeah.
You guys aren't that different. And the means to the ends. And I was just like, yeah. This guy is so smart.
So smart.
So wise beyond his years. Like, and although some people from the outside looking in might judge it and say, well, he's stupid for throwing away this opportunity at Yale. If the puzzle piece doesn't fit, it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. And that was a tricky puzzle piece to fit.
Super tricky.
That would have been very complicated to try to get yourself through that. So
for sure.
He's like you said, he's got to do him. He did it.
But I do like that Gunn said and reminded him that the day would come where he would have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's this show just gives so many great gems of life lessons.
Yeah.
In general, as you're going through the trajectory of your life, there are going to be these moments where there's like this fork where you right. either go left or you go right. And you do have to make these decisions that are pivotal that will change the scope of your life. And especially when you come from the inner city, I had that moment. I used to be in the Washington Heights and hanging out on the block and trying to be cool because I wanted to be down.
Yeah.
And then I found the arts. And the arts required me to have certain responsibility. Like, they have responsibility to be at their show at a certain time and do right. certain things. And the arts kind of force you to have that discipline and that focus. And people would invite me to still hang out. And I kind of was like, no. And I realized that people didn't want to get out. They didn't right. want to no longer progress to do the things that I wanted to do. And I had to make a decision. Was mm-hmm. I still going to be around these people that didn't want better for themselves? Or was I going to get out and stay out?
Yeah. And it's so cool how this decision is happening to Zeke.
Yes.
And it's also happening to Mylene.
Yes.
Same thing.
They're like parallel.
Yes.
Whoo. Well, Aunt Wanda isn't having it.
Mm-mm.
She is not having it. Like... And that's a tough decision to make as a child. Like, he's like, look, I don't know if I'd ever talk to my aunt like that. Like, I'm bringing food in this house. I was like, wait, what? What you say to me?
I know.
You don't talk to a Latina like that. Like, she would take off her chancleta and swing it at you. Like, what are you doing? But he did. He felt, you know, now that he has money in his pocket and he has some sort of independence, he's like, listen, I'm helping out around this house
right.
by doing what I love to do. How dare you tell me I can't do this?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, listen, you walk out of here. Don't ever come back.
Which is like a parent's one of their last moves. Like, that means like they feel as if they've lost control
mm-hmm.
and they got, what else they gonna say? You know what I mean? If they're saying that, they don't, it was not good. But I did really appreciate that they both had a very clear understanding of, I love you.
Yes.
Like, this is not working right now, right. but I love you, and I want you to know that I love you, and I also want you to know that I love you back,
mm-hmm.
but I'm leaving. Like, woo, that was a moment.
That was a moment. I really love the Pride Before the Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Brandon Durden. He's a Broadway actor who plays Zeke's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pride Before the Fall, that, you know, today is Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday to those who...
Ooh.
You know, it matters to me. And Pride Before the Fall is something that's in scripture. You know, there are certain things that are quoted in these two episodes. Later on, Shaolin says something from the Bible as well. And I think that's very interesting that they throw that kind of stuff in there
mm-hmm.
because pride will get you to fall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just been proven that pride gets you nowhere. And later on, Zeke starts to think that it might be true.
And Ramon. But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Ramon's pride definitely leads to his fall.
I've not seen pride like that, Woo! But we'll get there.
That was ugly. Well, the boys perform, and they perform this awesome song called Break the Locks. And it's a song that I really appreciated because if you really listen closely to the lyrics, it's very parallel to what they're going on, what's going on in their lives at this moment. Like, the song's talking about freedom, and it's this military kind of thing. And it's, you know, they're breaking out. They're breaking free. They're on their own now. There is some sort of freedom now to where they are in their lives. But the song Break the Locks was actually written by Nas, which I love him.
There he goes.
And the track was produced by Salam Remy, Elliot Wheeler, and Baz. So I was just like, wow, look at these guys just doing their thing.
So fun to see them perform. It's always one of the highlights. All their moves, their personality comes through. It's what makes the show so great.
And what I love, too, is that, and folks talk about it on the social webs all the time, how, like, it's so authentic to the underground rap scene in the Bronx at the time. Like, it makes me wish that I was a teenager during that time. I'm like, man, why wasn't I alive?
I think
but
that
then
too.
Again, God knew what he was doing when he didn't make me a teenager during that time, because here they are performing,
right?
Yet is their performance really the main show,
right?
Or is the drug dealing the main show, which we'll get into
such
that
a good
later
question.
But Zeke moves in with Shao because I mean, where else is he gonna go? And but I really appreciated Zeke's candor with telling Shao about himself. I think true friendship means truth.
Yeah.
Giving people the truth. Whether you agree or disagree, it's not if, but when things are going to come up for conflict, and it's how you handle it. And I just appreciate the bromance in terms of, like, listen, don't get mad at me. I'm just going to tell you, listen, you were wrong.
You were wrong.
And that doesn't mean we're going to stop being friends.
Right.
You were wrong. And that's it. Let's move on.
And then he also said, and I want you to tell me when I'm wrong.
There you have it.
There's Zeke again.
I mean, I'm like
such a big grown up.
I'm like, listen, again, can you just talk to some 30-plus-year-olds?
Right.
It's like we get older and we forget this stuff. Like,
right.
Children are just so much, they're just so grounded. Mm-hmm. I just wish adults would listen to children more often, like, or ask them how they think or what they feel,
and
as opposed to just telling them to sit in a corner and shut up.
Right.
Because they do have some insight, because they're literally like the eyes on the wall. Like, you know how you say you want to be a fly on the wall? That's
right.
Kind of what kids are.
Right.
They're like sponges. They soak up everything. They are in the middle of everywhere, just kind of not saying anything on their little device. And you think they're not listening, but they
right.
are.
And then all of a sudden they're insightful.
They're very insightful.
Yeah.
So start asking questions to the young people. So speaking to people, Zeke speaks to his mom through his through his poetry, his writing, and he writes her a letter. And my God, what stood out for me is, if making myself means losing myself, then what am I making?
Yes.
Come on, Jesus. During this resurrection, better talk about. But I mean, how, like, tell me, what do you think about that? Losing a parent. I mean, he lost both parents.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. I've lost one. I can't imagine losing both.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of life. Inevitably, we all must go. But it's like, it's so important to have an outlet. Had he not had this outlet, who knows where he would have been?
Oh, for sure. He makes me think all the time, maybe I should start writing some. Because, like, it expressing yourself in any way, I think, is good. And that's it's just such a great way for him to get through some of these things. And to also be able to acknowledge that he's kind of losing himself a little bit. He's like, if this is, like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I love it. Papa Fuerte.
Papa Fuerte.
Storms into the place.
Oh, that was great.
When he comes in there, like the Fuerte Papa that he is. I was like, yo. Shao was not feeling that at all.
Nope.
He was not feeling it. But Zeke was just like, yo, chill out.
It was so funny, though, because Shao's like, you don't come in my house. And he just, like, kept going. And Shao starts backing up, which you never see Shao back up. But Papa Fuerte.
Papa Fuerte, like, for those who don't speak Spanish.
I didn't speak Spanish. Can you?
The things that Papa Fuerte was telling this young man, like, I can't even say it on the air because today is Resurrection Sunday. I don't feel comfortable. But, you know, he was just saying those things back to him about, like, because, you know, they were saying that he was a homosexual. So he's kind of saying the same thing. Like, I will beat the brakes off of you.
Right.
You're the homosexual. You're the D-I-C-K-S-U-C-K-E-R. I was just like, oh, my God. Papa Fuerte is just reading him his rights. I was just like, he went in. He basically cursed him out.
He went
in. It was insane.
Insane. Awesome, though.
But I thought it was hilarious when he was like, oh, yeah, get yourself a new door.
Right. Here's some cash.
Here's some cash.
I do feel bad because I am a good person.
I'm sort of a good person.
At times.
But I think it was interesting. Like, yeah, like Zeke has known for a little bit that I didn't know that Claudia had said something to him. Like, I thought that that whole brawl at the Yale thing was the first time he's heard negative things about what's going down.
I don't remember that either.
Well, they didn't show it.
Right.
But obviously, Claudia had been saying some things to Zeke. And Zeke all this time has known this inside information, but has said nothing to Papa Fuerte. But I guess it's a conflict of interest. It puts him in a very kind of conflicted situation.
Yeah, what would he do? I mean, if he went straight to Cisco and he was like, hey, this is what I'm, this is what's going on, how would that play out?
Exactly.
Especially when he is, at that time, part of him was thinking about going to Yale. So he's just stuck in the middle.
Yeah. Whew, speaking of stuck in the middle, Mylene is stuck in the middle between her parents, the church, the label not calling her back. Her girls are like, what's going on? I can't let your father hold us back from what we're trying to do. But her mom actually, like, is
Oh, it was beautiful.
Wasn't that a special moment?
Yes, because you've seen this whole show, how Ramon talks to Mylene, and her her mom just stands in the back.
Yeah, quiet.
And you can see, though, how much she wants to step in and help, and she doesn't do it. And it, you can see how it kills her.
Right.
And it was such a beautiful moment for her to be like, you know what? Let's do this. I'm taking you. You get in a different dress.
Yeah.
And we're going.
Yeah, because she's like, you have to go after the things you really want. You can't just let life happen to you. Yes. You got to do life. I was like, come on, Mom.
Oh.
Mom's the real MVP of episode 3.
So she is the real MVP. Absolutely.
Fat Annie has some plans.
Woo.
She has some plans.
She was singing.
She was singing.
She was singing. I was like, oh, get it, Fat Annie.
Well, you know, Fat Annie is Lilias White's. Shout out to Lilias White, who is a Tony nominated, well, Tony winning, Tony award winning Broadway actress. So she has some lungs on her.
Some pipes.
I actually went to see Fela on Broadway, an incredible show. If you guys don't know anything about it, it's based on an African singer named Fela Kuti. And she played Fela's mom.
Oh.
And when I tell you, this woman can sing her entire face off. Yes, Lilias White. Thank you, Fat Annie. Had to do that side note. But yeah, she has plans for the boys for this record. And, you know, as we know through music history, back then it was like, how can we even make a record when the records we're scratching are records that are already owned by other people? And so Shao's like, how's this going to happen? And she's like, don't worry. I'm already worried.
Oh, yeah.
I don't trust
Annie.
Like, I'm like, nah, this ain't right. Something ain't right. But she wants to make a novelty record. And I really love how she says music always comes back around. Because doesn't it?
It does. Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I'm just like, every couple of decades, music's coming right back around. So, just like fashion.
Right, for sure. But yeah, I... Fat Annie, I mean, you... Like you said, you can't trust her. I mean, like... And you can't... You also can't stand up to her.
Nope.
Either. So, like, it's a... And she just woos you with the cash. Because that's what she has, really. And people to do bad things for her. But... I don't trust her for a second.
No, not for a second. But Mylene does show up at the office. Shane is exited stage left.
I was worried. The moment like Shane goes, like, oh no, what's going to happen?
Well, we already know manipulation was going to go down.
Yep.
And they go toe-to-toe. And Mylene's really trying to prove that she can be this, whatever it is that they want her to be. How did you feel about Roy's speech about his family never speaking to him? Like, do you think that's true, or do you think he was just using that to get to Mylene?
I think both. I think it was true. I think Roy, to be in a position like he is in that time, in that world, he probably had to cut ties, and he probably did things that were awful.
Right.
So I think that he had experience in it. I think you can see that in the way he interacts with the world.
Yeah.
And
I think he's a scumbag.
No, he's a total scumbag. Oh, he's awful. God. He's awful. Like, but that's what he knows, and that's how he does things. And Mylene's innocent in the perfect position for him to use his wisdom or whatever it is.
Wisdom. Well, we'll later see. Baba Fuerte starts to get a whiff of Guns' betrayal that Zeke told him was true when they get on the phone. And it's just, he's like, look, this newspaper clipping of you, I don't know, we're going to have to put this on hold. So we'll see what really happens with this housing. But Cadillac is just a trifling mofo. He's so trifling. Like, I really just want... From the beginning, I don't like Cadillac at all. Mm-mm. And to do something as, like, first of all, we all know that the Get Down brothers, the people that go to see their shows at this underground hip-hop show, are kids.
Right.
They're kids.
They're kids.
And you're willing to put some extra stuff in this angel dust that's going to kill these kids all because you're jealous that rap is overtaking disco. Like... How low
he's
is that?
He's so low, but we have to remember he came from Fat Annie.
Ugh, God.
So, like, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
I guess, but listen, someone needs to get rid of this Cadillac.
For like, sure.
I literally, guys, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I have not binge-watched The Get Down because I want to be, like, authentically in the moment to discuss this after show with y'all. So I'm only up to episode 4.
As am I.
And I'm like, come on, let's get rid of Cadillac. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Don't tell me in the chat because I'll be very mad at you. I've, like, stayed off the hashtag because I don't want to know what happens. But I'm telling you, like, I want Cadillac to just be done. Mm-hmm. I want him out of here because... He's a pervert.
Yep.
Someone said in the chat from last week, did you see that? The Cadillac's only 29, so does that make it that bad that he's after Mylene? Yes.
A little bit. Maybe
he's
a little bit.
He's a grown man looking at this high school kid. Yes, I'm feeling some type of way. Anyway, I digress. Moving on. Zeke doesn't want to sign this contract.
Nope. Stand up for what he believes in from the beginning.
You know, Shao comes in super hype.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ra Ra and Boo are super hyped too.
They don't even care. They're like, money?
They're like,
record?
What?
Done.
Let's
Zeke's like,
do it.
Wait. Who? Like, who is this record? Right. Where is this money coming from? Right. Asking the questions you need to ask.
Right. And he hates drug dealers. He said that from the beginning. And the effects that the drugs have. Ooh. Well, Mylene's dance rehearsal.
ride it, spasm, multiple orgasm. There were so many funny lines in that moment.
I was like, who is this choreographer?
Where did you come from?
Where is he from? The most flamboyant man on the planet.
So fun. Regina was getting it. She's like, oh, you want what? Done. Got it. Mm-hmm. And Mylene was like, okay, like, I think if I move this way, I think I... And she's
poor
like...
Poor Yolanda.
Oh, that was... Oh.
That looked so rough for
it
her.
It looked so rough. She was so uncomfortable.
She was trying to ride it. She was just... Can we talk about Shane's perverted self?
Oh, standing in the background, just watching.
Just watching. You think Shane really got a crush on Regina when she said it on the roof? She was like, you know, you got a little crush on me, so I got a little inside information.
Maybe. I think he just has a crush on Mylene. Or maybe on all of them. Like, I can't tell.
I think he just gets down with the young girls.
Yes,
this
I can see
this is what he
that.
Does. He's married.
While he's married.
But he's never home. He's never with his wife. He's always with these young starlets.
I want to see his wife. I would like to meet Shane's wife.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Let's do that. Let's
do
that,
guys. Does
he
have any kids?
Yeah. What is the backstory with Shane?
Interesante. Well, let's talk about the trifling Carmelita. I think she's trifling. I don't like her. Because Carmelita, to me, she reminds me of like Delilah in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just out for self and out to get things from Boo.
Oh, like, this is who we're talking about. Yes. Boo and the girl in the car.
Her name is Carmelita.
Carmelita. I missed that. Okay, cool. Now I'm with you.
Now you're here. So, like, when he's trying to, like, tell her that, like, look, once I get this record contract, like, you know, I'm going to have enough money. I can get out the game.
Yep.
She's like, no.
Why'd you get out the game? I want some angel dust.
Like, make as much money as you can make. I was like, oh, this trifling have a, Lord forgive me, no judgment. I was like, what is happening here?
And the driver's just driving, looking straight.
Oh, my God. I'm just over it. But then I was like, oh, Angel Dust. I got scared because I was like, what if Carmelita dies and then Boo Boo feels responsible? Right. Like that was my initial reaction in that moment. Zeke and Mylene on the fire escape. I love those moments.
Those moments are great.
It's like West Side Story. It's like the Puerto Rican. Anyway, I'm having a moment. Okay, so they support each other so much.
Oh, and they're able to put their stuff aside. Like, let's put it aside, you and me.
It's all about the vision. It's about the dream. Oh. It's about us getting out of the Bronx. Mm-hmm. Like,
we all need that.
Real love. I'm searching for a real love. Like, can I get that in my life? Like, Jesus, I'm praying for that.
Oh, it's great, though.
So then we get to the actual performance. Like, well, the performance is going on throughout the episode. But at the end of the episode, we seeing everyone taking this dust.
And Little Wolf getting involved. Shout out to Little Wolf.
Little Wolf,
shout out.
He was
with us in the beginning of this show.
Woof, woof.
And he's been a much bigger character part, too. And he's doing awesome.
He's doing awesome.
Even though he's evil.
Well, he's super evil. Dizzy asks for a hit of this dust. And then he kind of like goes into a daze.
He's gone.
He's like an alien. He's in outer space.
He's an alien.
And then the comics come in, which I really like.
Which is fun. It was fun to see again. Thor shows up. So great to see Thor.
Thor gets out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your thoughts about, because like when part one came out, that very first scene where like Jaden Smith, who plays Dizzy, had like that interaction at the drag queen show. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a big deal on the blogs. Like, it was very controversial. People were kind of like up in arms about it. But this is now, like, I feel like in this episode, it really, really solidifies this relationship that they have.
Right, right. Because in the beginning, you didn't really know what it was.
Yeah.
Was it like this thing that just kind of happened?
And it's like, oh, the drugs.
And he was, who knows? Yeah. But now it is clear that he's in love. I mean, he says, I'm in love.
Right.
I'm still in love or something like that. It was really cute how he said it. Yeah, like, it was so a great moment.
He's like, have you ever been in love with before?
Yeah. And he's like, I still am. But I love it. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think it's, to me, it's one of those things where, like, I mean, now we've progressed so much as a country.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, young people are able to be out and happy and free.
Right.
But at this time, I mean, I just really appreciate the show for, like, the nuances of it, because it's not like shoved in your face like, oh yeah, there were people. I mean, obviously, you
know,
people who love people, whether it's same-sex relationships or whatever it is, people were having all kinds of relationships since the beginning of time.
Exactly.
Let's keep it real.
Exactly.
But the way that they're showing it in this time, I really, really value and appreciate, because it's like, that is what happens during your adolescence, whether you like someone of the same sex or the opposite sex.
Right.
It's awkward. It's weird. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure it out. You don't know what it is. So I just appreciate that it wasn't wham, bam, bam. Like, oh, we're together. It's like, I don't know what this is, but I have these feelings. And
right.
I don't know what to do here. I don't know if I can tell anybody.
It's so great that they're taking their time with it, because they could have flown through that storyline so fast, like you're saying. And it's, it's something I'm really excited to see how the other guys respond when we actually do get to those moments. But like I said, it's great that they're taking their time with it.
Yeah. How do you think, how do you think his brothers will respond if they find out that like their brother likes other men?
I think Boo Boo will actually be fine.
Yep.
I think he'll be more fine, and I think Ra Ra will be more in denial.
Mm.
I could see Ra Ra being the brother who's like, oh, no, you're not. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
No. And like just kind of brushing under the rug. But I mean, we know how close they are.
Yeah, they're super
and, like,
tight.
And like love between a family, ultimately, they're still brothers. They're still going to love each other, and they better be there for each other.
Yeah, love wins all.
Love wins.
Well, Dizzy passes out,
mm-hmm.
and Thor is there by his side, and we feel like we're going to lose him, and that's the end of the episode, and we go into episode 4, Gamble Everything, and we start off with Zeke and Shao on the roof, and because of what happened to Dizzy, now there's this sense of urgency, like, we got to get out of the game.
Yep.
We got to get out of this record contract, because eventually Zeke does sign the contract at the end of episode 3. But this realization that we're connected to these kind of people that would do something like this, there's no question about it. We have to be done here.
It was great because I think this whole time they've kind of been denying all the drugs, especially Zeke. He's like, I mean, he has to know what's going on. Right. He's like, oh, that's not me. I'm just performing. That's what I do.
Right.
But I love that he was able to say, I am a drug dealer. Like, not necessarily, I'm not doing it, but in a way, I'm harvesting this environment, and that's what's happening.
Listen, at the end of the day, if there's a bust, they're all going down.
Right.
You know, and they might get, you know, charged with conspiracy or being an... Listen, at the end of the day, just being there makes you an accessory.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's tried to turn his head the other way for too long, and at this point, he can't anymore.
Right.
So speaking of Boo and Dizzy and their relationship, Boo starts questioning Dizzy about who Thor is. Like, seemed pretty close. Like, you went right up to him like some zombie.
Right.
I was like, And in that moment, I was really anxious because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was like, is Dizzy going to tell him? It's like, I used to know all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know your friends anymore. And I have, there are 7 siblings in my family. It would have been 8, but there are 7 of us that are alive. And I have those moments. Like, growing up, I was super close to my siblings. We did everything together. And now, you know, my siblings are older. They're married with kids. And because I'm single with no kids, I have my moments where I feel really left out. Like, I'll call my brother and be like, man, you don't call me. You don't, oh, this happened. I didn't know about that. Like, that's so real because your first friend is your siblings.
Right.
Like, they're the ones you play, like, school with, restaurant, you know, cops and robbers. Like, you do everything with your brothers and sisters. Right. So that really touched my heart. I was just like, you're right. Used to know all your friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a good moment. Yeah, I'm the oldest. So I'm just the one who's probably out of the house a little bit. And they probably think the same thing.
Yeah.
So maybe I should give him a call.
You should.
I'll give him a call.
Reach out to your siblings.
Tell him to give him a call.
It's Easter. Tell him happy Easter.
Yeah. It's a good plan.
Rara tries to muscle up some courage to call a girl. I thought that was so...
He's like... Hey, Rara, this is Tanya. Panic, hang up.
How do you call somebody and say you're them? I couldn't. I almost died.
We're so
I had to
funny.
Rewind it and watch it again. Like, I was like, do that for me one more time.
He talks so fast.
He talks so fast. That's why he raps so fast.
Right.
But oh my God, who knew Rara had pipes on him?
Oh, that was good.
Singing Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes, come on, bro. I loved it. But so he solidified this date, like he's going to go out with her. So we'll see. But then Shao makes strict orders that Boo cannot hustle anymore, which I really appreciate. Because I didn't want Boo hustling
No one wanted Boo hustling, no.
Like, he's like, yo, he's about to be 16. Which means if he gets caught, he'll do real time.
Right.
And this is the thing. If any of them get caught, this whole, the Get Down Brothers,
Dunzo.
It's a wrap.
Dunzo.
So it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
We need to do better with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mylene, Regina, and Zeke go out on the town in their limo, champagne popping, bottles popping.
Without Yolanda.
Without Yolanda. Yolanda's so trifling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I get it though.
I get
she was Mylene is this like person who's like looking to express herself and she's looking to like be able to be her. And I don't necessarily think that that is Yolanda. I think that Yolanda is more comfortable with who she is. She is more who she is. And what they were having her do wasn't her.
Yes.
I think it didn't line up with her as opposed to all these other things going on.
Well, the 3 of them grew up in the church.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong, Regina already gives you a little like, I'm ready to be out, honey. You know, she was probably the first one to lose her virginity out of the crew. I think Yolanda steals a virgin, to be honest.
Too.
And though, like, that home roots is still in her, like, man, like, she had conviction. Her heart was convicted. She's like, this doesn't feel right. I don't feel right. This isn't what we should be doing. Now, I don't know. This is my thing. If you don't feel right and you don't want to do it, that's fine. But snitching?
I know.
Snitching to the moms, I don't appreciate that. Like, let's keep the sisterhood together. Mm-hmm. You want to lie and say that you're sick, fine.
You could have waited, like, what, 24 hours till it was over?
At least let them perform.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because then what happens after is just horrific. But before we even get there, Ramon comes home.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get ready.
Yep.
You know, and now all of a sudden he doesn't have time for his church duties. Slowly but surely, as we see, you know, Mylene's mom is starting to talk back and have some say in all of this because she's tired of seeing the greed that's happening to her husband. Mm-hmm. But she speaks up and gets pimp slapped.
Oh.
Did you see that coming?
I saw maybe a slap because of his behavior. He slapped Mylene in season one.
But slapping your daughter... And
yeah,
slapping your wife
when you're
a man of the cloth.
Yeah.
To be honest, I did not see
really?
That coming. Like, I thought he'd give her a good shake. You know, like he might have been like, but like actually putting his hands on her, not once, but repeatedly.
Oh, I didn't see that. I thought not that it would have been acceptable by any means, but I thought it would have been one slap.
Like, I was just like.
And then she just slaps him right back.
I'm like, how you claim to love the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but you over here. Putting your hands on God's child.
Oh.
Because your wife is still God's child. So I was appalled. And then he was just like, if you're not going to save our daughter, then I am. And he just storms on out of there.
Oh, she had some good lines. And when she was like, she said she set her free. And she's like, I will not let you rise on my daughter's stardom.
Oh, yeah, that was
And amazing. I will not let you, what it, like, she said something about like squeezing the life out of her like you did to me.
Ooh.
And she said, you're the whore. For the fame and glory. Like, she was, all this we've seen in the beginning inside her was unleashed.
Yeah.
And it was great to see her stand up for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just crazy. So. Whew. So it got real.
It got super real. And then we get to see why Ramon would be so up in arms about, like, because the club that she's supposed to be performing at, they said it was kind of like a Studio 54. And I know about Studio 54. Mm-hmm. I've seen documentaries about it and how crazy it was during that time. But Studio 54 still didn't look like what I saw.
Rubicon.
Like, that opening song, I was like...
Where are we?
Where did we go? What is this? And should a 16-year-old little girl be performing at a place like this? Like, honestly, priest or no priest, as a parent, they're absolutely right. My 16-year-old daughter should not be performing
For
at a place
sure.
like this. And Roy is clearly just doesn't care about this young girl's soul because it's like, why would any 16-year-old be in this place? Like, mm-hmm. they're just talking about sex and drugs and oh, all kinds of things that I can't say on this Easter Sunday. But tell me, if you lived during that time, would you want to like sneak into Rubicon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd
I
be
definitely
there?
Would have like popped into Rubicon at some point.
You'd have a fake
not
ID.
Not at 16. Probably not at 16. Maybe when I was 18. But I definitely want to like, just, you know, showed up a couple times.
Oh, man. So this is a big deal, though, because Roy needs Stigwood mm-hmm. to see Mylene. So he can replace
Misty Holloway
with Mylene. But Misty shows up.
Diva of all diva. Her entrance.
What?
Whoa.
I didn't see that coming.
I did not see that coming at all. How she just walked in and she the way she captured the crowd like that was incredible. And everyone just loves her. Shout out to Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Uh-huh.
She was in Hamilton. She's Broadway. I mean, she's fabulous. The Color Purple, Rent. She was Nala in The Lion King. I mean,
a beast.
She's a beast. And we could see that from the minute she walked in. Like, you could see it from the screen. Her, like, energy just radiating.
Yeah.
And she just walks up to the stage and she's like, I'll do a number. And just, like, grabs the mic, sings a song about backstabbers and looks at Roy. Like,
smiling in your face. Such a great classic song.
And she looked good.
She looked amazing.
She was doing everything they were saying to Mylene, you need to do.
Right.
And she was destroying it.
Yeah.
Like, it was great.
It was fantastic. But it was a strategic stab at Roy because Roy backstabbed her. Like, he was really, really trifling, like, in the way he handled this whole thing. And it's just like, just because our relationship didn't work out doesn't mean you have to try to ruin my entire career. And that's what he's been trying to do. Like, he's been coming for her since they broke up.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. But Mylene's having a panic attack.
Oh, I felt, did you feel that? Like, I was, like, right there with her. I was like, oh, my God. If I was in that position, I would have been in the same boat. I would have been panicking. Like, it's so hard sometimes for performers. There's so much pressure. And if that happened to you, the person that you've been idolizing your whole life, and she comes out and she says these awful things. Yeah. First, she's like, oh, don't be mean to her. She's a sweet girl, but she's mousy. And then all of a sudden, her dark side started coming out, which was... Yeah. Ugly.
I couldn't even imagine. Like, I'm a grown adult, and I'm like, man, if, like, my dream is always to be like, I've met Viola Davis once. I went to see Fences on Broadway, and I got her to sign my playbill. Just
Have been amazing.
I almost died. But I want to be, like, on set with Viola Davis. Like, I want to breathe the same air as her while she works and watch her brilliance in person in that way. And that's what I thought, like, because I don't sing. I'm not a musician. So that's what I was thinking in that moment. Like, if Viola Davis did that to me.
Yeah.
Even at my age, I would feel some kind of way. She's 16. She's like, I have 16. I had to remember that for a second. Because for a second, I'm like, okay, girl, even if your idol, like, does something like this to you, you got to pull it together because the show must go on. And I'm like, wait, she's 16.
Yep. And then the worst part about that whole thing is you're not in control of your timeline. You can't be like, give me 10 minutes, I'll be back. They're like, you're on in this time. Like, the clock's ticking. You don't really know when you're going to have to go.
Yeah.
Oh, she was freaking, but I was right there with her. Yeah. I got it. I felt it.
I felt it, too. Shout outs to Janice Harris. Hey, girl, for hanging out with us on the live chat. She says Rubicon reminds her of Moulin Rouge. Did you get that kind of feel?
I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Kind of like circus-y kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that, too.
Good one.
Good one.
I like that.
But shout outs to Zeke for being the real MVP. For getting her back out there. You know, Shane's trifling stuff. I'm going to keep talking about you, Jeremy Harris. I'm going to call him, too, because I'm like, have you watched this after show yet, sir? Anyway, Shane just gets on my nerves because I get it. That's his job. He is, like, artist relations or whatever his job is. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Right.
Manager. whatever you do, Shane. But her boyfriend's there, and he knows her much better than you do. They've grown up together. They know everything about each other. So if anyone can convince this girl to go out there, it's him.
Yep.
But the trifling of Shane to say, I left a little something in there for you.
What are you doing?
I thought it was weed. Yeah. Because she smokes pot. That's what I figured, too. They smoke pot together.
We've learned that she likes pot.
At this point, well, not back then, but at this point in America, you know, it's medicinal. It's recreational in some states. So whatever, weed, I don't judge people for that kind of thing.
Right.
But, man, to find that he put something else there just really, really bothered me. Because when she finally got out there, you know, the big thing was, like, she was doing her thing, but her dad arrived.
Oh, I didn't think he was going to get in.
Really?
He got in pretty easy, let me just say. They're like, you can't come in. And then all of a sudden, he just gets in.
He gets in because Misty Holloway was the diversion, you know? So I'm just like...
Sorry, go ahead. I can't imagine performing like that, though.
With your dad in the front row?
Mm-hmm. And it's new for her. She just doesn't perform like this. No. This is all new for her. Yes. And after everything that just happened, your dad shows up?
Man, and she's gyrating. And she's, like, on the bed on some girl-on-girl with Regina. Like, I was like, whoa.
It was...
That's a lot for a man to handle. Like, he already is handling his wife talking back to him and him going through all of that and kind of the truth that was revealed in his face about his pride and his need for fame and success. Then he gets to the club and sees his daughter this way.
Singing Toy Box, which was an awesome song.
Yeah.
Written by Sia, by the way.
Ooh.
Get it, Sia. It kind of felt, it didn't necessarily feel like the most era appropriate song.
Yeah.
It seemed like sometimes they string the eras of today and that music, and there were some intermixes, but I loved it.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, folks were saying that in the blogs. They were like, Toy Box isn't really
right.
time appropriate. You know, the fans, a lot of the fans of the show, they're really sticklers for the music. They really want the their music heads. Like, mm-hmm. they know, love, and understand the music of this time. And so for them, it's kind of like, nah, we're not having it.
Right. But I like the song.
But yeah, I mean, and they have the it's based on this time. Right. They still have the creative liberty to create the show they want to create. So let's divert for a second. Ra Ra goes to Zulu Nation Land, mm-hmm. to the unknown paradox of yes. what's happening in the other side of the Bronx. Because what from we've known from the beginning of part one is that there's these different kingdoms, right? And we have Grandmaster Flash, we have Zulu Nation, we have like all these different places, and it's just like the Bronx is kind of divided.
Yep.
So he gets there and he doesn't really get a warm welcome because word's already on the street of what went down at the club with the Angel Dust.
Yes.
And it's just like, listen, we're about peace and unity over here and you about pushing drugs and bodies on the street, and so we not about that life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so interesting because not that I think Ra Ra's a punk by any means, but he comes across as one. He's this nerdy kid who does karate, but then doesn't put it to use in real life.
Right.
And then she's like, well, you too scared to be my man? And I'm like, this girl gonna get my boy. This boy, my poor boy, is gonna get knocked out and beat up because you want to talk about, is he man enough for you?
Right.
You see all these big boys. You see this scrawny long kid. Like, come on, girl. This is just not right.
Oh, it's not right.
I was
right.
feeling some type of way.
Poor Ra Ra.
But did you think that they were going to get in?
Because
they eventually get in to the Zulu
they
spot.
They do. I didn't. I mean, once they were like, nope, not you. You're a get down brother. You've got 10 seconds to go.
Right.
I thought it was done. I thought Tanya was going to go in. I thought she was going to leave Ra Ra standing there. And then mm-hmm. Ra Ra would have been very uncomfortable mm-hmm. going home alone. So yeah. I was surprised they got in.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they did.
Yeah. Whew. So it keeps building. It keeps rising. Things keep going down.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Mylene's mom is all beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to none other than Papa Fuerte
mm-hmm.
to like... Because where else is she going to go?
She's got nowhere else.
She has nowhere else
She's
to go.
She's got to get away from Ramon.
She has to. And Papa Fuerte is ready to beat up his own brother.
Oh, he was ready
He
to
was
go.
Living.
I don't think I've even seen him like that.
I've
that
never
was the
seen
most
him.
Angry and for like he was going to. That would not have been pretty.
No. But she's like, no, you can't do this. You got to chill out. I'm having a moment because I can't imagine being in this type of triangle. Like, two brothers?
No, that's a crazy triangle.
Like telenovela. Like, what is
it's
happening?
Like, that I'm particular like, storyline is like, a telenovela.
Two brothers? Girl, we'll come back to that. But Ra Ra loved his date.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a kiss on the cheek,
mm-hmm.
which I love. But this whole experience, it's like things happen in your life and you don't know why they're happening, but they all kind of add to what you need. Like,
right.
Ra Ra needed to go through this experience. He needed to see what was out in this place of the Bronx that they've never been to. The reality is about those who aren't New Yorkers or have never been to New York.
Mm-hmm.
When you're from a certain neighborhood or even a certain borough, sometimes people only know their 4-block radius, unfortunately. They
yeah.
never leave their borough. They never leave their city. So, yeah, that's kind of like why it was important for him to go there because we realized after.
Mm-hmm.
Shao stands
Shao,
up.
Shao, I was about to say, let's go to Shao and Shao, Fat Annie.
He stands up to Fat Annie.
Oh.
Like, pistol whips Fat Annie.
Well, she's like, we already got a contract. And he's like, what about me? And she, yeah. doing her Fat Annie stuff.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, like, you'll get some money. And he's mm-hmm. like, it's not, like, for Shao, too, it's not about the money.
It's not about the money.
I didn't think he was going to hit her with a gun, though.
I didn't see that coming.
Especially because they've got all that other weird stuff going
yeah.
on. I didn't see him doing that. And the way that he did that, and how, I mean, he ran and he was scared. I mean,
yeah.
he was scared after that, him in his house, him, anyone who walking in, him, he's hammered, he's just firing guns off. That
mm-hmm.
was, he's like.
But he was absolutely furious because it's like, there is no get down without the DJ.
Right.
And the fact that you're trying to take out the DJ, the two can't go together.
For sure.
So that happens. That then leads to the father and Mylene having their fight. They have their fight. He then tries to run to his brother to try to, like, get some people to get back at the people that beat up him.
Yep.
But then he finds his wife with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Finds out that Mylene's not his daughter.
Finally.
Oh, my God. The bomb was dropped. He's belligerent drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So is Shao. It's like they're mirroring. Shao's drunk. Ramon's drunk. Shao got a gun. Ramon has a gun. Shao's like ready to kill somebody. Zeke comes in. Mylene's high off snorting her cocaine because she's upset about her dad. There's just so much chaos happening. I don't know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like they're all fighting. Shao's like, oh my God. Ra-Ra comes in. He's like, I got the solution.
Yep.
We have to find peace. We can get out of this contract. Zulu Nation can free us. We'll see next episode if that can actually happen. Mm-hmm. But Ramon goes to the church because he has nowhere else to go. And he's preaching this amazing sermon in his mind.
Yes, in his mind.
And
about
I'm
him.
Like, okay, all right, okay. But I didn't see.
Firstly, I thought it was a time jump. I didn't realize that he instantly was there and that there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And so I thought he was practicing. I thought it was the storyline was going to lead to him building up this church and it would continue. I thought it was practicing and that's how he was handling all this stuff.
Right.
I didn't see it either.
I didn't see it coming. So RIP to Ramon. That's so sad. I couldn't see a man of a cloth taking his own life. Like, I just didn't. I get that that's a lot for him to bear, but I just didn't understand. And then now that's a lot for Mylene to bear. You know, I can't even imagine what that must feel like for a young girl. I guess we'll see in the next part how she responds to that. Guys, I don't know, but they definitely did gamble everything in this episode.
100%.
There goes episodes 3 and 4, y'all, for the Get Down on this Easter Sunday. Thanks for hanging out with us. I don't want to do any predictions because I just want to watch and see.
Yeah, we got to watch the last one.
Make sure you get down with us next Sunday right here. You can hang out with me at all things at Selly Hangout. I'm Francelli Chapman. And where can folks hang out with you, Sheldon?
Hey, guys, you can all follow me on all social media at SheldonWhite2.
And there you have it. You've been getting down with us on Black Hollywood Live. Mm-hmm. Until next time, y'all.
See ya.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The Get Down on Black Hollywood Live.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.